the request was made that today, instead of delving into a single topic, we should discuss some of the halachos of the 3 weeks, considering that we are starting or have started the 3 weeks. It happens to be that there are not a ton of halachos in the 3 weeks. There aren't that many things that change during 3 weeks, although certainly there are a number of things that change, and certainly our mood changes during 3 weeks. It is certainnely a time that we refer to as Bein HaMetzarim, a time of Churban, and the Hanhagos that we begin starting last night or today, we'll discuss that as well. These Hanhagos sort of get us into the mood, ease us into the mood of Avelus that one ultimately is supposed to feel on Tisha B'Av. Rav Soloveitchik quite famously, if someone could just close that door, it's just like the noise of the So the Rav Soloveitchik quite famously developed the idea that having 3 weeks followed by the 9 days and followed by Tisha B'Av itself reflect three different levels of avelus that you have by regular avelus as well, where by regular avelus you have a person sits shiva, and then there's shloshim, and then for a parent there's yud beis chodesh. So Rav Soloveitchik developed the idea that it's in the reverse during the 3 weeks, with some exceptions. There are some changes, there are some differences, because there's a difference between avelus chadasha and avelus yishana, between a new avelus and an old avelus, an avelus that is a reaction to something, and an avelus that is something that is trying to build up a sense of loss within us, as opposed to dealing with a loss that we've already sensed in a profound way. So there are some minor differences, but for the most part, he views the 3 weeks period as a period of Yud Beis Chodesh that applies to all of Klal Yisrael. So what does that mean exactly? It happens to be not all poskim view this time period in that way. They assume that there are halachos that we have during 3 weeks that have nothing to do with avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh. It's a different kind of avelus, and it has its own set of halachos. So let's go through some of the halachos. The Raman, Sim Tavkuf Nun Aleph Sif Dalet, says that a person is not allowed to take a haircut from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz until Chatzos Hayom of the 10th day of Av. That is the Ashkenazi practice, certainly. Sfardim don't have the 3 weeks. Sfardim start all of these practices on Rosh Chodesh Av. They only have the 9 days, and their 9 days is the Shvuah Shechalbo. But we're going to assume for Ashkenazim. So we don't take a haircut during 3 weeks. Now, the halacha of a haircut by a person who's in Yud Beis Chodesh is that once a person gets to the point of Garu Bo Chavero, that someone would say to him, "You look disgusting, you look disheveled, you look unkempt," that at that point a person would be permitted to get a haircut during Yud Beis Chodesh. That's why typically when someone is in Avelus over a parent, you don't see that they go 12 months without getting a haircut. That would be crazy. At a certain point, they do get a haircut when the hair is growing out of control. At what point do you get to the point of Achiyugar Bo Chavero? So when it comes to shaving, when it comes to a person who's normally clean-shaven, and their beard starts growing in, so it happens very quickly, a couple of days of not shaving, and a person already, if he would show up to work, people would say, "What's the matter? You shave or broken? What's wrong with you? How come you're not shaving?" Whereas when it comes to hair on the head, so that takes a much longer time to get to the point of Achiyugru Bo Chavero. So that wouldn't happen within a period of 3 weeks. We generally assume that to cut the hair on the head for an Avel would be twice the amount of time. We pass, there's a Machlokas Achronim, I should give a little background. There's a Machlokas Achronim, whether you actually have to wait for someone to tell you that you look disgusting, or you can wait to the point where someone ought to tell you you look disgusting, if not for the fact that they were so polite or they didn't care about you. So we generally pass, you don't actually have to wait for someone to tell you that you look terrible, although some people like to take the opportunity to do so just in case you're being machmir. So I find that when people are in Yud Beis Chodesh, I'll overhear sometimes someone will go over to them and say, "Let me do you a favor. You look terrible. Go get a haircut." And that way, the person knows without a doubt that they already look terrible enough and they can get a haircut. So generally speaking, we assume that as far as cutting the hair is concerned, if no one's going to tell you, how do you know if your hair has grown to the point where Yigaru Bo Chavero? So we assume twice the amount of time that passes between the normal haircuts. If twice that amount of time passes, you've gotten to that point. So if normally a person gets a haircut every 5 weeks, let's say, when 10 weeks pass, he's gotten to the point of Yigaru Bochaver. That obviously can't happen within a period of 3 weeks. But it does stand to reason that if a person, let's say, was in camp and there was no barber and they last got a haircut however many weeks ago, and now that time is going to come up during the 3 weeks, they're going to get to the Shir Ga'ara during the 3 weeks, it would stand, and not during the 9 days, before the 9 days, it would stand to reason that according to Rav Salvage, they would be able to get a haircut, even though that is really negligent. The person should have gotten the haircut beforehand if they really were going to feel like they needed it so badly. So really, it's best not to get any haircut during 3 weeks. As far as shaving, so Rav Salvage held that once you get to the Shir Ga'ara, once you get to the point where you don't look so nice anymore, so then you're allowed to shave, and once you start shaving, you don't have to wait to get to the Shir Ga'ara again over and over again. You're allowed to then shave at that point every single day. That is Rav Salvechik's opinion. That is not the majority opinion of Poskim. The majority of Poskim seem to assume that any sort of shaving, any sort of haircut during 3 weeks is prohibited, that it doesn't follow the same rules of the Shir Ga'ara. Having said that, there are exceptions that other Poskim still take into account. For example, the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Gimel says that if a person's mustache is growing in a way that it inhibits eating. So first of all, that's impressive. If in a matter of 3 weeks you're able to get to that point. But if a person gets to that point, then he's allowed to trim the mustache. Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying that if a woman is of marriageable age and she feels her hair looks disgusting and she needs to take a haircut, maybe you can rely on poskim that are more makel and let her get a haircut in that situation. As far as I know, I didn't get a chance to look in Halicha Shlomo. There's another sefer called Shalmei Moed that has a number of Rav Shlomo Zalman's psakim. I think it's generally viewed as not quite as reliable as Halicha Shlomo. Halicha Shlomo is like the very widely accepted collection of Rav Shlomo Zalman's Piskei Halacha. Shalmei Moed, I'm not as sure about. But whatever I'm quoting from Rav Shlomo Zalman now is from the Sefer Shalmei Moed. And you'll see some of these things I'm not 100% sure that he would actually say, but most of them probably yes. When it comes to trimming eyebrows, Rav Moshe was of the opinion that one may not trim eyebrows even during Shloshim, and certainly therefore not during the 3 weeks. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, that's not a haircut. A haircut is a haircut, is shaving, that's kiluach, tespores. When it comes to other parts of the body, that's not a haircut at all. What if a person wants to take a haircut for the purposes of a mitzvah? So that would be permissible, because after all of this is only a minhag. So if one is taking a haircut for the purposes of honoring a mitzvah, then it would be permissible. For example, the example is given of Hasidic women who have the practice to shave their heads every time they go to the mikveh, because they don't want their hair to be a potential chatzitza when they go to the mikveh, or they want to make sure all the hair gets under the water, so they don't have any hair, so that they can continue to observe that practice during 3 weeks. So when you turn chassidish and you get married, you could inform your wives that it's okay, that they can shave their heads during the 3 weeks. Rav Shlomo Zalman gave another example, or was quoted as giving another example, if a person's hair is growing so unruly that it's going to be a chshaylev chatzitza for his tefillin. So if you're not going to be able to yotze the mitzvah of tefillin because your hair is all over the place and it might be a chatzitza for your tefillin, so then you can get a haircut. And here's the part that I wasn't so convinced that Rav Shlomo Zalman actually said, but they quote from Rav Shlomo Zalman that if you're going to do so, you should only cut the hair around the spot where the tefillin is going to rest. But the rest of your hair you should not cut. That is hard to believe that he would say such a thing, because you'd look like an idiot if you cut the hair only where the tefillin is going to rest and not the rest of your head. And that is obviously a Kavod HaBrios issue. And one would imagine that Kavod HaBrios is docha lo saseh shebetorah. Kavod HaBrios is for sure going to be docha a minhag. So I find that a little hard to believe. Also, how long does your hair have to be in order for it to be a chatzitza by tefillin? Many poskim assume that as long as everything is naturally growing in its place and the tefillin doesn't slide easily, that would not be a chatzitza. Only if you're moving hair, like slicking it back under the tefillin or something like that, only then would it potentially be a chatzitza for tefillin. Now, granted, we try to be a little more machmir in that and not have long hair. It's a custom of Jewish men. I think not to have long hair, but to say that it's a halachic problem that's therefore going to be used as a kula to get a haircut during 3 weeks would seem to be a little much. The Mishnah Berurah says that if a woman's hair is growing in a way that it's difficult for her to keep it under her head covering, she's allowed to cut it during 3 weeks. That would be another example of a dvar mitzvah. On the day of the baby's bris, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Sharet Zion in Tav Kuf Nun Aleph Dalet that the Chassam Sofer in Siman Kuf Nun Ches says the father, the mohel, and the sandik are all allowed to take haircuts. It becomes like a personal yom tov for them, and they're all allowed to shave and take haircuts on the day of a bris. What about for work? So I get this shaila a lot. I'm getting the shaila from college students who have summer internships, that when they show up to their summer internship, they don't want to show up unshaven to their summer internship. Now, for an internship, it's a much, much harder kula. It's much harder to come up with the kula than when it's your actual job. Because if it's an internship, it's just something to put on the resume. So you stick it on the resume, whether you came unshaven or not. But when you actually might lose opportunities for advancement in your job, or a boss might look askance at you, then it's much, much different. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Gris Moshe Archaim Chelik Dalid that a person is allowed to shave during 3 weeks if it's going to cost him money, and therefore if one is cannot show up to the office for 3 weeks straight unshaven, l'chora one has plenty of room to be made. Aside from that, Rav Salvechik held even l'chadchila, that once you get to the point of Igra Bo Chaveiro. But when it gets to the 9 days, that's where it gets much trickier. Because Bein L'Rav Moshe, Bein L'Rav Salvechik, there's no real heter. According to Rav Salvechik, it has a din of shloshim. People are not allowed to shave during shloshim for work. And according to Rav Moshe, also, it becomes much more strict, and one should not shave during the 9 days, and certainly not during Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. I mean, even if you know, hold like the Sfardim, that the 9 days are like the 3 weeks, Shavua Shechal Bo would be really, really, really hard to be makel. When it comes to children getting haircuts, Shulchan Aruch holds that adults are not allowed to cut children's hair, but there's a machlokas, Mishbura quotes, why adults are not allowed to cut children's hair. Is it because of chinuch, or is it because of agmas nefesh? That notion of agmas nefesh is a fascinating idea. The idea is that we're going to have the child look like an avel, not because of the child, but because we want people to be sad when they look at the child. It's similar to the Mishnah Megillah. It talks about if you have a Beis HaKnesses Shenechrav, you have a Beis HaKnesses that was destroyed and hasn't yet been rebuilt, and it's like being overgrown with grass or whatever. The halacha is you're not allowed to cut that grass. Why? Mipnei agmas nefesh. We want people to pass by that shul and be saddened by its current state, and hopefully, therefore, motivated to want to fix it. But there's an agmas nefesh that we're trying to create. That was the famous psak that Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld gave by the Kotel, and that was observed for many years, that by the Kotel HaMa'aravi, there is grass that sometimes grows out from in between the stones of the Kotel, and Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld paskind, you have to let it grow. You're not allowed to trim it. You have to just let it grow wild. Let the wall look terrible. Why? Mipnei agmas nefesh. Let people see that, and they'll see chorban. And when a person appreciates chorban, that's a good thing. They're supposed to appreciate that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and that there's actually chorban there. It happens to Rav Eliyashiv disagrees with that psak. Rav Eliyashiv held that no, instead of looking at chorban, you have to realize that the Kotel right now is a shul, and a functioning shul. And when you have a functioning shul, you have to take care of it, and you have to make it look nice. So Rav Eliyashiv held they dafka should cut the grass. It turned out to be an irrelevant machlokas because they had to cut it anyway, because otherwise they were told by engineers that the stones would start falling down if they don't cut it, and no one wants to have one of those stones fall on their head when they're davening at the Kotel. So they, in fact, Rav Rabinovich, when he sent the shaila to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, he writes that the Medrash says that we have a guarantee that the Kotel Maravi is always going to stand. So maybe we shouldn't worry about what the engineers are telling us, because the Medrash says that it's always going to stand. But then Rav Rabinovich writes, but on the other hand, some stones have started to fall already. So maybe we should listen to the engineers. So I think that's what they did. They ultimately listened to the engineers in that situation. So what's the nafkamina, whether it's because of agmas nefesh that we're not cutting a kid's hair, or because of chinuch? Nafkamina is if he's below the age of chinuch. If it's not about him, it's just about creating agmas nefesh for us, so then even below the age of chinuch, we wouldn't cut his hair. But if it's about chinuch, then it's only at the age of chinuch that we would be machmir. Rav Moshe, Negros Moshe, Yerdei Chelek Aleph, Sim Reish Chav Dalet, is makel on this issue that for a child, for a very young child who's not yet at the age of chinuch, a child 6 years old, younger, certainly can get a haircut during the time of the 3 weeks. That is as far as haircuts and shaving. The second issue that one is not allowed to do during 3 weeks is one is not allowed to get married. Shulchan Aruch and Tavkuf Nanalis of Beis says you can't get married during the 3 weeks, but there's a machlokas haposkim, and this was a fascinating machlokas. What about last night? What about the night of Shivasa B'Tamuz before the fast has begun? Can one get married during that time? Rav Moshe has the most unusual tshuva in Aruch Chaim Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Samaches, where Rav Moshe was asked about a case where the 3 weeks of Shivas Batamas was on a Sunday. So the 3 weeks was going to start on Sunday. Someone wanted to get married Motzai Shabbos. And they wanted to know, are you allowed to get married the Motzai Shabbos before Shavas and B'Tamuz? So I would have said that it has nothing to do with what day of the week it is. It's irrelevant what day of the week it is. The question is, does the 3 weeks start with the fast of Shavas and B'Tamuz, or does the 3 weeks start with the date of Shavas and B'Tamuz? So Moshe, for some reason, and he doesn't explain why, assumes that the day of the week matters over here, and he says that since it's very hard to figure out what the minhag is, because it doesn't happen commonly enough that Shavuos B'Tamuz falls on a Sunday, to figure out whether there's a minhag not, and that someone wants to get married the night before, to figure out whether there's a minhag not to, and he makes it tully in a machlokas Balamar and Ramban in Maseches Pesachim, I think, about whether it starts the night before or not, and he thinks he thinks he has a raya from a Gemara at the very beginning of Pesachim that the preceding night is not considered to be part of the fast at all. An interesting raya. If you ever learn Pesachim, you got to learn that Rav Moshe and figure out whether that raya is taka, a strong raya. But he thinks that that he's more noted to say that it does not begin the night before, the fast does not start the night before, and therefore he thinks there's room to be mekel. Rav Soloveitchik, however, disagreed. He said that you cannot get married the night before Shavuos B'Tamuz, because even though you're still allowed to eat, it's still Shivas B'Tamuz. It still has a din of a Yom Tainis, even though you're still eating. And his raya is a comment of the Torah's Hashlamim in Hilchas Nida. In the bottom of Hilchas Nida, in Shulchan Aruch, the Torah's Hashlamim is a commentary that appears on the page, and the Torah's Hashlamim says that a person should not eat meat or drink wine on the night before a fast day. So l'chora, you see already that eating meat and drinking wine is asur. Why would eating meat and drinking wine be a problem the night before a fast day? You're not. It's not the fast day yet. No, you see that it already is the fast day. It's just that you're not being noheg all of the halachos of fasting at that point. I don't know why this entire discussion only revolves around getting married. The chorot should be about all of the halachos of the 3 weeks, like can you get a haircut last night, which a number of kids in camp decided to wake up at like 9 o'clock last night and say, oh, I think I need a haircut. You know, I think generally speaking, as Rav Razner Paskin for the camp, we're machmir that we assume the 3 weeks begins the night before and it does not begin the morning of Shavuos B'Tamuz. Yeah.
Why is Doug's and all these meat restaurants open last night?
Well, because you're allowed to eat meat during 3 weeks. There's no issue of eating meat during 3 weeks, just during the 9 days. The Shulchan Aruch writes that a person is allowed to be ma'aris nisha, right?
You're talking about the fast.
Oh, yeah, because we don't pass anything else. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that a person is allowed to be ma'aris a woman, even on Tish B'Av itself, lest somebody beat you to it. Shami yikadmenu acher, and you're not going to have the opportunity to marry that woman. However, you shouldn't have any sort of festive meal for that during the 9 days, Shulchan Aruch says. So the Mishnah Berurah says that you can even arrange for a tanayim during this period, and it seems to be based on the same idea of Shami yikadmenu acher. Okay, the next halacha that relates to the 3 weeks is there is a halacha that one is not supposed to listen to music. Now, does that specifically relate to the 3 weeks? It appears in Shulchan Aruch, in the section of the Shulchan Aruch that discusses the halachos of the Ben HaMetzarim and the Churban, but in Shulchan Aruch it does not appear as a halacha for the Bein HaMetzarim. Shulchan Aruch quotes this as a halacha for year round, that after the Chorban HaBayis we should no longer be listening to music other than at a wedding or something of that nature. For whatever reason, we are makel on that issue, and we tend to listen to music all the time. But it stands to reason, and this is what the poskim point out, that if they wanted to ask for music achar haChorban, because in living in times of Chorban, we should be a little sadder and we shouldn't be uplifted by music, at least during the period of time where we are, where we're actually observing Avelus for the Chorban, to avoid listening to music during this time period. But since it does not appear explicitly in Shulchan Aruch as a hanhaga that applies for this time period, so some are a little more makel in terms of when there's some sort of tzorach. For example, here in Camp Keli, we find that especially for the special needs kids, there's nothing that uplifts many of these children as much as music. There's nothing that makes them happier and gives them as enjoyable a time as music. When we have that concert, I'm sure you were, I happened to miss it this year on the first Mitzvah Shabbos of camp. It's a really special time for them. So Rabbi Rosner is makel to allow for music during the 3 weeks in Camp Keli. But that does not mean that you should be putting on your headphones and listening to your own private music during the 3 weeks. If that's what they're doing for the camp, that's what they're doing for the camp, to create a certain atmosphere in the camp. But probably on a personal level, on a private level, you shouldn't be listening to your own music just for your own enjoyment. This should be l'chora more chamor than listening to music during Sfira, because Sfira is not fundamentally a time of Chorban. Sfira has nothing to do with Chorban. In fact, Ramban al-Atar writes that Sfira is really fundamentally, at its core, a happy time. It's a time of Chalamoed, the Ramban calls it, between Pesach and Shavuos. It's like Pesach and Shavuos are the bookends of Yantiv, and the whole days of Sfira are like the Chalamoed between them. It happens to be some terrible things happen during Sfira. So once those terrible things happen during Sfira, we started to be Noeg Avelus. But it's not a Zman that is a Zman of Chorban. Fundamentally, the Zman is a good Zman. Yet, that's at least the Alpinigla. Alpinistar, the Zohar, thinks that Sfira is a time of Tumah and distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it is fundamentally a bad Zman. But even so, even if it's a time of Tumah, even if it's a time of Tumah and a time of distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's still not a time of Chorban. So not listening to music is specifically something that relates to Chorban. So it would seem that during the 3 weeks, it is prudent to avoid listening to music. The overwhelming majority of poskim assume that recorded music has the same status as live music. That if you're listening to music, what difference does it make whether the instrument that you're hearing is a guitar or the instrument that you're hearing is an iPod? Either way, you're hearing the instrument playing the music. There are even some poskim that say that even if you're just listening to recorded voices, since it's a melodic thing that you're listening to that's coming out of a kli, that it's the same as listening to a musical instrument. But I think the majority of poskim assume not that way. I think the majority of poskim assume that a recorded voice has the din of a voice, and a recorded instrument has the din of an instrument. So one is not supposed to listen to instruments, can't listen to voices. One could argue that the whole a cappella movement is sort of the letter of the law, but not quite the spirit of the law. I think that's a fair argument to make, depending on the quality of the a cappella, I guess. But it seems that a lot of people are knowing to be makel about that. Now, there are a couple of exceptions. Rav Moshe has been quoted as saying, I don't think he has a tshuva where he says this, but he's quoted by others as saying, let's say background music in a video. So that's not listening to music, and this makes a lot of sense. Listening to music is a problem of listening to music to enjoy the music. Sometimes you're watching a video and there's background music in the video, but really you're primarily watching a video, that would not be a problem. Rav Moshe does write in the tshuva, in Chelek Gimel Siman Pei Zayin, that a musician or somebody who's studying to become a musician can play music during Sfira and probably during 3 weeks as well in order to sharpen their skills, to practice during the 3 weeks. The Rav Vadi Yosef paskins that you're allowed to listen to music at a sudas mitzvah. So just like, you know, let's say you make a siyum, I think Dafyomi is going to finish Bab Basra during 3 weeks, but not during the 9 days. So let's say you make a siyum when you finish Bab Basra, so you could have music there as well. Another halacha that relates to the 3 weeks, and this is really the last halacha, because there aren't really, like I said, there aren't that many. There are only three halachas. You're not allowed to take a haircut, you're not allowed to get married, / listen to music, and this halacha you're not supposed to recite a shechianu. Shulchan Aruch and Tavkuf Menal Sifyud Zayin says a person should refrain from saying a shechianu on new clothing or new fruits during this time period. Magen Avraham explains that in Sifkat Membeis that because it's a time of Peronos, like we explained, it is fundamentally a time of sadness, a time of Churban, so you don't want to say, oh, thank you, Shechianu, Kimyonu, Yanu la Zman Hazeh. No, we're not so happy about Zman Hazeh, so we don't want to say a bracha about Zman Hazeh, which comes out pretty interesting, because there is a halacha that if a person, let's say, you buy a brand new car, so what bracha do you say when you buy a car? When you lease a car, you don't say any bracha, because you haven't bought anything, but when you buy a car, let's say, so what bracha would you recite? The answer is, depends. If you buy a sports car that only seats you, and maybe you can give a ride to somebody once in a while, but it's certainly not going to be used by more than you on a consistent basis, so then it's your toy, it's a shechianu. But if you buy a family car, so the whole family is going to use it, you buy a minivan, and the whole family is going to benefit from the brand new car, and everyone's going to enjoy it, what's the bracha you say then? Hatova Metiv. The bracha would not be Shechianu. Now, Hatova Metiv is a bracha that expresses even greater joy, because it's joy of many people, not just of one person. I remember when I got engaged, I called up Rav Shechter to tell him I got engaged, and I asked him a couple of shailas, and I said, should my wife make a Shechianu on the ring? He said, no, she should say Hatova Metiv on the ring, because you're just as happy to give it to her as she is to receive it. So it's a joy for multiple people. So she should say Hatova Metiv. So the file that went away for when you get engaged in however many years. But the bracha Hatova Metiv doesn't pose any problem, even though it's a more joyous bracha. It doesn't pose any problem because you're not talking about Hazman Hazeh. You're not talking about this specific time, and therefore one would be permitted to say Hatova Metiv during the 3 weeks. Because one is not supposed to say Shechianu, we should avoid buying things that require a Shechianu. Meaning, you're going to buy, there's no issur of shopping during the 3 weeks, but there's an issur of shopping for something that you're going to have to say a Shechianu on, not because of the shopping, but because of the Shechianu. A woman emailed me the other day asking if she's allowed to buy a dress for her daughter's bat mitzvah during the 3 weeks. I thought buying a dress for a daughter's bat mitzvah, that's probably going to be a very nice dress, probably going to be a fairly expensive dress, probably going to be the kind of dress that's a Shechianu dress. So something like that, she should not recite a Shechianu, and it's hard to argue that her husband is going to be as happy to pay for the dress as she is to get it, and therefore it's Hatova Metiv. I don't think so. I think she'll be happy, and the husband will, whatever, you know, he doesn't care. So that's my experience for the most part. So I think that would be a Shechianu and not a Hatova Metiv. So a person should be careful about that. As far as water sports and activities like that, so that's really a 9 days issue, because the halachas during the 9 days, there are a lot more halachas that apply during 9 days. We're not discussing that now, but maybe the last day of camp as we approach the 9 days, but not today. The halachas of the 9 days involve no rechitza shel ta'anug. One is not supposed to bathe for enjoyment. The very definition of rechitza shel ta'anug is swimming. Right, that's the very definition of Rechitza Shel Ta'anug. That is a 9 days issue. That is not a 3 weeks issue. Nevertheless, Rav Sturmbach writes in a tshuva, in Tshuvas V'Hanhagos Chelek Beis, Simen Reish Samach Gimel, that a person should try to avoid very dangerous activities during the 3 weeks. It is a time of bad mazel on some level, so we should try to avoid, we always try to avoid dangerous activities, but we should try to be even more cautious. Meaning, if let's say you hold Maker Adin, you're allowed to go bungee jumping because statistically it's more dangerous to cross the street or something. I don't know that that's true, I'm just saying that statistically it may not be so dangerous. maybe don't schedule your skydiving session or your bungee jumping session during the 3 weeks. We would want to avoid, or if you want to drive around the mountains, so normally you might push the speed limit a little bit, maybe let's not do that during this time period. Maybe not do that ever, but especially during this this time period. It's a time of some danger, and we should be a little bit more cautious about it. I got a shy that you guys tell me what you think. A woman is a, might as well, right? A minute or two. A woman is an instructor in a gym. She owns a gym, and she does, I don't know what kind of dance, or whatever is it called?
Zumba,
yeah, something like that. So she is not pregnant, not nursing. Her youngest child is 3 years old, and she wants to know if she has to fast today. Why wouldn't she have to fast today? Because if she fasts today, she's not going to be able to give the free classes after the fast is over, and she's going to lose a lot of money. Because that's a lot of classes that she's going to lose out on. No, what are you telling her?
Absolutely.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's like an attitude that people have sometimes that, like, you know, religion sort of has to conform to my schedule. You know, like, I think we have to be most nefesh a little bit. You know, if she doesn't have food to put on the table or something like that, but no, Baruch Hashem, they have food to put on the table. So I didn't think that that was a good enough reason. So you know, maybe you should have another baby, then you'll be able to then you have the heter or not. Okay, I didn't say that. But okay. Okay, any other questions? 3 weeks?
What?
Right, then she won't be able to give it anyway. All right. Well, you'd be surprised. Pregnant women are very active these days. They get there till very late stages. And then they're back in the gym a week later after having a baby. Rav Shechter has a tremendous chiddush la'alacha, a big chumrah, that we assume that after a woman gives birth, that for she's a cholish yesh basakana, that you're allowed to and must violate all isum daraisa to accommodate her, including eating on Yom Kippur for the first 3 days, for 72 hours after she gives birth, and for a week after she gives birth, she's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur without us asking any questions. She says, I want to eat, you give it to you, you let her eat for a week. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Rav Shechter thinks that we shouldn't rely on any of that anymore. He said, but 2 days later, she's in the gym already. She's, you know, nowadays women recuperate so much more quickly from childbirth, so he thought you don't have this automatic 72 hours you must eat. He thinks it should be assessed based on whether there's any actual sakana or not, which I think is I think the minhag of poskim is to be mekel about that issue, but Rav Shechter is machmir on that issue. Okay. As far as